10, 15.
Back upfield to the 35, to the 40, 45, 50.
Pass the 50.
35, 40.
Pass the 30.
To the 20.
Inside the 20.
You got to be kidding me.
To the 10.
Whoa! He scores!
He's all the way home.
The no flags!
Oh, my God. Holy moly.
They're not going to keep him off the field tonight.
One of the greatest upsets in sports history.
Hello again, everyone. This is the Old College Try. This is your host, Tim Hyland, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Mike Unger. Mike, it is all of a sudden December 15th of the year 2022, and I mean this most sincerely, Mike. So I think there's two things that our most dedicated listeners will hear on the show over and over and over again. One is you and me talking about how fast the season goes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking today, like, it does feel like we had just done our first show, and all of a sudden here we are on our last show of the season. And the other thing is your phrasing, talking about every time I looked up, someone was scoring. You see that all the time, Mike?
I was unaware of that, but I was going to say the same thing about the USC game if we talked about it, but it was Utah.
Yes. But yeah, man, it always flies by. And here we are on the cusp of bowl season, which starts again. It's the 15th. The first bowl game is tomorrow, Mike.
The former Popeyes Bowl, the Bahamas Bowl, one of my favorite bowls. I love how bowl season starts off with the Bahamas Bowl. Is there a better bowl anyone could go? If you're not going to the college football playoff and perhaps the Rose Bowl, is there a better bowl you could go to as a player or a fan than the Bahamas Bowl?
It's got to be way up there, right?
Not to mention that, so we're recording this on Thursday, the night before, December 15th. I believe this is the sixth darkest day of the year.
Yeah.
And it was pouring rain here in Baltimore from, there was no sun up to sundown all day. 33 degrees out, so no freezing rain, no snow, but the coldest rain you can imagine. It really brought me back to my 1996 trip to Notre Dame, where I saw BC play Notre Dame, and it was 33 and raining the whole entire game, and my friend got pneumonia. That's what I thought of today. So yes, the Bahamas Bowl is sounding pretty damn good right now.
Absolutely, and we will. There's much college football to discuss, like all kinds of things. Listeners should know we are not going to be recapping the conference championship games other than for a quick mention to say, like, hey, wow, Utah, right?
Yeah, which you called.
I want to say one quick thing on the World Cup. It's been, I hate to say this, given like the backdrop of like all the shadiness, it's been a phenomenal World Cup, Mike, an absolutely phenomenal World Cup. And does it not feel to you like this is destined to be Messi's World Cup, right?
Well, I'm not sure, because France is so good. First of all, the last podcast I made a little flippant comment about the World Cup, and I think, but I stand by it, that I'm very conflicted, because as you said, this has been a very, very exciting World Cup, and everyone that I know, even non-soccer fans, has been watching, has been glued to the games. There's been drama. There's been upsets. It's been outstanding. You know, the backdrop of what's happened in the World Cup with the workers, so many workers dying, building the stadiums, and the corruption of FIFA and the sad death of Grant Wall. It's all terrible. But I have to agree with you. The soccer itself has been otherworldly.
Amazing. And Grant Wall, I have been... it's been amazing to see how many people, like Grant Wall, he did. He was the foundational soccer writer in America. He was. And to like make the choice, he was a college basketball guy and he made the choice to cover soccer. And he did an amazing job doing it. And I think the outpouring of like support for him and his family has been pretty impressive. And I'm really, really, really looking forward to France, Argentina. I think it's going to be an incredible match. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And one other thing I have to say is that the start times of these games, 10 and 2, have been phenomenal.
Yeah.
I've loved how they've all been live. I love that those windows. You couldn't hope for a better final. I mean, Morocco played so well through the whole tournament, defensively becoming the first African nation to make it to the semis. But France and Argentina, they are just the class of the tournament. And to have them both in the final, it's going to be epic on Sunday.
Messi just is Messi. And by the way, how fast is Kylian Mbappe, Mike? My God.
Oh, my God. They were so, you know, it's funny you say that because Fox, who we always compliment on their job of televising kind of technically the college football, they're better than ESPN. We're not talking announcers. We're talking camera angles and things like that. They've done a phenomenal job on the World Cup as well. And they have a field level camera in which you can see Mbappe just simply kick the ball past the defender and then just streak right by him.
Right.
He is ridiculously fast. He should become a football player, American football player.
All right, transitioning now to American college football.
the reason all our hundreds of listeners tune in.
I'll say the sad passing of Mike Leach. Now, Mike, we'll get to what we discussed earlier in a bit.
Yeah.
This has to be said. There has been, and you know, Mike, I have been a devotee of this game. I will say my first memory of watching college football is like probably when I was 7 years old. Okay.
Yeah, you were the one who, you were my gateway drug, Tim, you and Brian Schlitter.
I can't think of a coach more unique,
mm-mm,
more influential in his own way, not like mm-hmm, in a big time way, in his own way. But also, what a personality. Mike Leach was one of a kind. He had his flaws like everyone else did. Right. There's things I didn't like about Mike Leach, but like I never, his teams were, you, if you hired Mike Leach, you were going to have an entertaining team to watch because he was offensively absolutely brilliant. Brilliant. His offense, his philosophy, it sounds so simple, but if you go back 30 years, it was revolutionary. He's like, okay, defenders can only cover so much space. I'm going to exploit the space they can't cover. And that was the air raid. And it changed the game. And essentially, along with him and Hal Mum, and I'm blanking on other guy, they changed football. It was a run game first. And now, of course, everyone essentially runs the spread, Mike. Everybody does. And Mike Leach was part of this. He absolutely was.
I was struck by a lot in listening to all the tributes after Mike Leach's sad and untimely death. What you were saying and the influence of him football-wise was one of them. But also, he seemed like a genuine person. So a lot of the times, you know, I think people could get the idea that what he was saying or some of his personality was maybe shtick, especially in this day and age, you know.
Yeah.
But it seemed, it actually, everything I've read and heard, he seemed completely genuine. And you made a comment about you knew what kind of exciting football you were going to get. Do you remember when Maryland fired Randy Edsall and
yes,
they were looking for a replacement coach?
Yes.
We were advocating, and it's hard to believe that the Maryland brass and leaders didn't hear our influential voices, but we were advocating for Mike Leach to become coach of the Maryland Terrapins. That would have been game-changing for Mike Leach to be in the Big Ten, for him to be at a school like Maryland, and Maryland fits the exact bill of Mississippi State, Washington State, and Texas Tech. They're basically all four of those are exactly the same type of schools when it comes to football. And they went with DJ Durkin instead, and, you know, obviously we know how that turned out. But that would have been spectacular to have Mike Leach in College Park. But yes, the stories, you know, reporters clearly loved him because he enjoyed talking to reporters. So that's that. There's been a lot of positive outpouring about him in the media because he gave reporters time and he seemed to actually enjoy speaking with them. So it was shocking. And just on a human level, the guy coaches his team on Saturday. Everything's normal. And he's dead on Monday. I mean, at 61 years old, it's tragic. But Rick Neuheisel, who we love, of course, put it perfectly today. I was listening on the radio. It's Thursday. And he said, Mike Leach, even though he died at 61 way, way too early, lived an extremely full life.
Yeah.
pausing to take a drink of bourbon, Mike Leach would give a thumbs up to that.
There's so much to the man. I admire him. Similar to Spurrier in some sense, where they didn't fall into that category where it's like, oh, I need to work 35 hours a day.
Right.
Right. He's like, no, I have a life. I'm a person. I have other. He wrote two books, right? He wrote a book about Geronimo and stuff. Yeah. And Mike, we must discuss, there was a wonderful article in the Washington Post today about Mike Leach and his favorite bar in Key West. And he had a reserved seat at the bar.
Yes, written by Kent Babb. It's funny, before the podcast, we had done our normal 0 minutes of preparation, and we were chatting before the podcast, and we both brought up this Post article written by Kent Babb. It's a great article. The bar is Captain Tony's, which I've been to several times down in Key West. It's a famous bar. It's referenced in a Jimmy Buffett song, and Mike Leach loved going there. And I want to read just one passage from this story for a number of different reasons. So he was talking about why he loved Key West. He, quote, he could jump on his bicycle and ride from his cozy bungalow to his bar stool at Captain Tony's in 3 minutes flat. He would sit among the signed bras draped over a pipe, the dollar bills stapled to the wall, downing Crown Apple until closing time. It's a fascinating drink. Sometimes he would mix it up by ordering nothing but tequila when he was feeling aristocratic as the man who forever changed the way football teams play offense. He would spend all night drinking Brandy Alexanders. And that sent me to the internet because I had never heard of a Brandy Alexander. Have you?
No.
It's a brandy-based dessert cocktail consisting of cognac, cacao, and cream that became popular during the early 20th century. Needless to say, sometime in the next week, possibly for the Mississippi State bowl game would be great. I'm going to be making some Brandy Alexanders. But yes, the context of this article, if you've been to Key West, or even if you haven't, you get the point. But I've been there. I've been fortunate to go there several times. And it's a spectacular article. It really humanizes him.
And I think there was a passage in the article, too, where they talk about he had interviewed several times at like what you would say is like the blue blood jobs. OK. Mm-hmm. And he was never deemed acceptable for those kind of places. And there's a passage where I know the answer is it was Tennessee. Okay. Mm-hmm. And imagine him at Tennessee. Imagine.
Oh my God.
But in the interview, he started talking about like SpongeBob SquarePants or whatever. And they were like, no, we can't hire this guy because if like, we can't have him losing to Alabama on Saturday and him talking about SpongeBob in the press conference. But it's like, how short sighted is that?
Yeah.
My God. Anywhere he went, he won, and he went to like challenging Texas Tech, Washington State, and Mississippi State, and he won everywhere. It's amazing.
Yeah, and those are, as we said, those are all the three jobs. And what a last game that he coached that Egg Bowl on Thanksgiving night that we talked about. What a way to go out.
So RIP Mike Leach. He's definitely the game is less interesting with him being gone. So
no doubt about it.
Very sad. Mike, the college football playoff, of course, I don't think anyone was really surprised with the results. Of course, it was 1 Georgia, 2 Michigan, 3 TCU, 4 Ohio State. I think the only question was whether it was going to be Ohio State at 3 or 4. I don't have a strong opinion on TCU, Ohio State's placement. I'm fine with how it sorted out. How do you feel about it?
I think it was the correct thing. TCU should not be penalized for making it to their conference championship when Ohio State did not. And TCU, if you watched that game, I know we're not going to get into the details of a lot of the conference championship games, but that was an epic game. That was a tremendous game they played against Kansas State. Max Duggan did everything possible to bring them back. They lost in overtime, basically a coin flip type of game. I think overall, they had a more impressive season than Ohio State. That being said, I think the reason they did it, they just did not want, you don't want a rematch in the semifinals.
Again, this is a question that's asked all the time. I know I hear this on Sirius too. Like, do you think that the committee takes that into consideration?
Yes. I'll just answer that quickly. Yes, I do think they take
that. I don't think they do. Am I dumb, Mike?
Interesting. You're usually more cynical than I am on these things. So I actually do think they do. but it's irrelevant. Those are the right four teams, and it's going to be a fascinating playoff, I think.
All right, so we're going to skip ahead. Right, we're going to do the bowl preview. There's, of course, like there's like what, 41 bowl games, Mike. So this will be a very fun exercise here. We'll save the playoff games to the end. Mike, are you ready for the bowl rundown starting tomorrow?
I can't wait. We are about 15 hours of real time until the kickoff of bowl season.
Mike, here we go. The Hometown Lenders Bahamas Bowl, Miami of Ohio versus UAB, and also the Duluth Trading Cure Bowl, UTSA versus Troy. Quick comment, UTSA, I talked to Larry Coker. I interviewed him in the Philadelphia train station like 7 years ago when they launched that program. And the program, like, they were going to play for like 2 years at that point. And Larry Coker was so positive and like he thought they had great potential. And look, it's borne out. He's not the coach anymore. Who the coach is, I have no idea. But just fun for me to remember like talking to Larry Coker about UTSA launching a program. Do you have thoughts on Miami versus UAB, Mike?
I certainly do. First of all, this, of course, as I previously mentioned, the game started out as the Popeyes Bowl. So per tradition, I will be getting Popeyes for lunch. While I watch this during my lunch break tomorrow. UAB favored by 10.5 over Miami of Ohio. They're both 6-6. I think it'll be a close game because, you know what? What does either team have to lose? They're both happy as hell to be playing in the Bahamas. You're coming from Ohio, and, you know, maybe a little bit less UAB, but still, how many of those kids from Alabama have been to the Bahamas? Excellent game in the Cure Bowl, which, A, I have no idea where the game is being held. But Troy is at UTSA is a 1.5-point favorite over Troy, two conference champions from the Sun Belt and the Conference USA. So that's going to be an exciting game. Frank Harris is the UTSA quarterback. Troy's played great ball all year. Both teams coming in 11-2. It's a great doubleheader to start off bowl season on a Friday.
How about this? I mean, like the Saturday lineup is like, there's a lot going on here. We got the Wasabi Fenway Bowl.
Have you ever heard of a more bizarre combination of two words than Wasabi and Fenway?
No. Cincy versus Louisville with the very strange situation of Scott Satterfield.
Very, very odd. So at first I thought, okay, that's going to favor Cincinnati because the kids on Cincinnati are going to be thinking, all right, we want to impress our new coach. But the kids in Louisville probably hate Scott Satterfield and they want to beat his ass. So it's a really interesting dynamic. Then you throw in the fact they're playing at Fenway Park, kickoff at 11 a.m. in Boston. God knows what the weather is going to be. Louisville favored by 1.5. It's a fascinating matchup. I have no idea who I would take in this game, but I'm going to watch it.
But what a story it tells about college football that Satterfield leaves Louisville in the ACC to go to Cincinnati.
Well, the reason is he was basically going to get fired, and Louisville just got a new president. They will possibly be getting a new athletic. There's a lot of change happening at Louisville, and he was not beloved there to begin with. And don't forget, Tim, Cincinnati is about to go to the Big 12.
But like, why would he be like your choice as Cincinnati? The whole thing's bizarre.
Well, that's a whole different situation. Yeah. It seems like Cincinnati probably could have done better, right? You're going from Luke Fickell to Scott Satterfield. I would not be jazzed about that if I were a Bearcat fan.
The Cricket Celebration Bowl, Jackson State versus North Carolina Central, noon on ABC. Jackson State post Coach Prime, who's now at Colorado, of course.
Yes. I mean, well, I obviously have nothing to add about the game on the field, but what a couple years that must have been down at Jackson State for that football program with the national exposure that Deion brought, and he'll certainly bring to Colorado as well. I don't think he'll be at Colorado for many years.
No.
But he certainly has put a jolt of energy into that morbid program. So that's going to be a fun program to watch in the years coming up here.
How about this, Mike? This is a great bowl game for early bowl season. Florida versus Oregon State in Las Vegas Bowl, 2:30 ESPN. Interesting. Like, has Florida ever played Oregon State? Maybe not.
I can't imagine they ever have. The line opened Oregon State by 5. It's now Oregon State by 10.5 because Florida has a bunch of opt-outs. Florida limping in at 6-6. Oregon State coming in at 9-3. They're a well-coached team. This is a classic. One team's happy to be there. One team is not. I'm going Oregon State. I'm going Beavers all over this one.
The Jimmy Kimmel LA Bowl presented by Stifle.
Washington State. It could be Stifle. I saw that earlier as well. I have no idea what, if anything, that is. But I love brilliant move by Jimmy Kimmel to sponsor a bowl.
Wazoo versus Fresno State, 3:30 ABC. We don't need to comment every game, Mike. Let's move on to, how about the Lending Tree Bowl, Rice versus Southern Miss, 5:45. We have the New Mexico Bowl, SMU versus BYU, 7:30. I like this one, in Albuquerque. And then
that one sounds fun because that's the one that both teams are going to play hard. They'll both be excited to be there. And BYU always brings it. We have a special spot in our heart for BYU, so I like that one. And the Frisco Bowl, North Texas, Boise State, I have absolutely no comment on.
Monday, the 19th, the Myrtle Beach Bowl, Marshall versus UConn, Brooks Stadium in Conway, South Carolina. God knows where that's at.
Is that a golf course? The Myrtle Beach Bowl should be played on a field that they put on a golf course, like right on the eighth fairway. How about UConn, though? In a bowl, Jim Mora's first season. They're getting 10.5 points against Marshall. I'm taking UConn all day long in that game.
The only place I can think this game's being played is Coastal Carolina.
Yeah, it's got to be Coastal Carolina's stadium.
Tuesday the 20th, we have the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, Eastern Michigan versus San Jose State, 3:30.
And then we have blue turf.
We have the Boca Raton Bowl, also a good location, Mike. How about Liberty versus Toledo, 7:30 kick?
I know, Toledo favored by 4.5 points. Those Toledo kids are going to be very excited to be there.
Wednesday the 21st, Western Kentucky versus South Alabama at the Superdome, 9 p.m. No comment here.
Yep, no comment.
Thursday the 22nd, the Armed Forces Bowl, Baylor versus Air Force. Air Force, of course, will care more than Baylor will. This is in Fort Worth, Texas.
At least it's in Texas, so Baylor will have a lot of fans there. But I have a comment. The service academies have these contracts where they basically go to the same bowl every year.
Yeah.
And I just think that would suck for the players and the fans. But, you know, good season for Air Force. They went 9-3. They won the Commander-in-Chief's trophy, I believe. So good season for them. But that should be an interesting game.
We must address, Mike, speaking of the service academies.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I think Navy's treatment of Coach Ken was awful.
Horrible. And so have you read a lot about the follow-up?
Yeah.
Ken is not happy. The AD is not, he's not doing the political thing and saying, you know, we thank him for being 15 years of outstanding football and he's one of our best coaches ever. He is being very curt with him. It seems like it was a personal move.
Yep. Absolutely.
And I think it's a terrible move. Coach Ken Niumatalolo, one of our favorites on this podcast, he's all class. He's an outstanding coach. 15 years. I think he has 6 commander-in-chief trophies, 10-plus winning bowl seasons. By all accounts, COVID completely screwed up Navy. They had different rules than the rest of college football. They couldn't practice. They had much more stringent rules, and they really have had a hard time bouncing back. Although they had a decent season this year, they went 4-8. But they lost a lot of very, very close games against competition that's much, much more difficult than either Army or Air Force faces on a routine basis. And I completely agree with you. Coach Ken was done wrong. And wherever he winds up next, I'm going to be a fan of that program. And let me tell you, Stanford should have gone after him. Any kind of program like that, somewhere out west, I think he'll be a great coach wherever he lands next.
It doesn't make sense to me in so many ways.
Like, I've read a lot about it, and it really does seem like a personality clash.
again, back in my days when I did actual writing in college football, like one of my first interviews was Coach Ken, and like I was a nobody. We talked for an hour. He couldn't have been more accommodating, and was yeah. He was open. He's a great guy. He was a really great guy. And it's like, Navy, you're Navy. Who are you kidding here?
Yeah. Speaking of that, I mean, so I read a long profile of him too for Baltimore Magazine. He couldn't have been nicer. We had spent all day with him. He brought me into meetings. It was outstanding. But when we were working at the paper in Annapolis, how bad was Navy football during that era, Tim?
Awful, awful.
Completely awful. Paul Johnson turned it around, but Ken kept it going, and his consistency was really incredible. And I was shocked when I saw that he was fired, but then as I've read more about it, it really does seem like a personality conflict. But
and also to fire him immediately after a heartbreaking loss is super shitty.
To Army, I know. And then the AD was swearing it wasn't because of the Army loss, but I don't get it. I don't get it. All right, let's move
Friday
on.
Friday the 23rd, we have the Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl, Louisiana versus Houston, and we have the Union Home Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl, Wake Forest versus Missouri.
Well, first of all, the Independence Bowl is a bowl that's been around forever.
Yeah.
And it's in Shreveport, Louisiana. And there's lots of times I remember Maryland played in this a couple times and Indiana played in it once. I believe Maryland tied Louisiana Tech one year. And I think Indiana lost to VaTech the year before I went there in the early 90s. It was one of our last bowl appearances. But one thing I always remember about the Independence Bowl as a kid, you know, before I was as well traveled as I am now, I knew it was in Louisiana, but I'd watch a game and there'd be like snow flurries and people would be freezing in the stands. And I could not believe it that this game was in the South. But you got to favor Lafayette in this one against Houston, even though Houston's favored by 6.5. And the other one, Wake against Missouri, close spread. Wake favored by 1.5. I'm not sure if Sam Hartman, the quarterback for Wake, is playing. If he is, I'm taking Wake. I'll need to do more research later after the podcast is over.
On Christmas Eve, the Easy Post Hawaii Bowl, Middle Tennessee State versus San Diego State, 8 p.m. Monday the 26th, the Quick Lane Bowl, New Mexico State versus Bowling Green, Ford Field in Detroit at 2:30. Mike, how about that one?
There's been several times when it's possible that Indiana has or Maryland has been possibly forecast to go to the Quick Lane Bowl. And I would want to do it. I mean, you can do the whole trip probably in like $500, flights, hotels, yeah. Tickets, all that. One more thing, though. The Hawaii Bowl, I used to love watching because it's the only thing on Christmas Eve. And back in my single days, you know, I could, as a Jew, I could do whatever I wanted on Christmas Eve. And, oh, my God, it was so glorious. Now I don't have those particular freedoms anymore. But I have a special place in my heart for the Hawaii Bowl. So good luck to both Middle Tennessee and San Diego State.
The 27th, a big day, the Camellia Bowl, Georgia Southern versus Buffalo at noon. We have Memphis versus Utah State at 3:15. Coastal Carolina versus East Carolina. Love that. 6:45.
Yeah, and that seems like a fun one. Even though what's his name will not be playing quarterback for Coastal.
No. Nope.
Grayson McCall.
10:15 kick. This is a fun one. The Guaranteed Rate Bowl, Wisconsin versus Okie State. I love that one, Mike.
All right, let's take a quick break and let's talk about the hire of Luke Fickell at Wisconsin and then bringing in the North Carolina offensive coordinator known for his passing game. Will we even recognize Wisconsin football moving forward? And do you think this combination can work?
I think Luke Fickell is a home run hire.
Yeah.
And I think that hire, look, Luke Fickell has such deep connections for recruiting in the Midwest. I think he makes Wisconsin, without question, the predominant program in the Big Ten West immediately.
Even though the West will only exist for one more year. But I agree. And I think that bringing in that offensive coordinator from North Carolina is sending a signal to everyone, hey, this is going to be a different kind of Wisconsin program. The thing is, he'll be able to keep what makes Wisconsin, Wisconsin, you know, those huge offensive linemen, the running game, the consistent defense, but by kind of sprucing up the offense and bringing it into the 21st century, I think Wisconsin will be a force to be reckoned with in the Big Ten in years moving forward.
Totally agree. Wednesday the 28th, the Military Bowl, UCF versus Duke. We have the AutoZone Liberty Bowl, Kansas versus Arkansas. I love that.
But that's one, you know, you talk about a lot of games where one team won't be excited to be there. The Liberty Bowl, both those teams, Kansas and Arkansas, will show up to play and play hard. Arkansas favored by 3. Just want to go back 1 second. Central Florida against Duke in the Military Bowl. Again, Tim, when we were living and working in Annapolis, could you have foreseen a time when there was a bowl game at Navy Marine Corps Stadium right off of Raoul Boulevard?
No, and also, it's not the greatest stadium in the world, but the fact they have on their, like, the Ring of Honor, it's not like players, it's battles that Navy fought. I love that.
Yeah, it is cool. It is cool. But I like the fact that they have a bowl game there.
The Holiday Bowl, Oregon versus North Carolina. Awesome. Love it.
Yeah, love Bo it. Nix playing in the game for Oregon. And what's that great quarterback's name from North Carolina? I'm blanking on his name right now. Anyway, he's playing as well. So this will be one of the best bowl matchups. Drake May, sorry, I was blanking on his name. This will be one of the best bowl matchups that we've seen, although Oregon is a 13.5-point favorite. Wow, I'm taking North Carolina in that one. I'm telling you that right now.
And the Texas Bowl, Texas Tech versus Ole Miss. No comment there, really. The 29th, the Bad Boy Mowers Pinstripe Bowl. This is the most, oh my God. Syracuse versus Minnesota, Mike, at Yankee Stadium.
It's one. This is a bowl that I've been to. Of course, a bowl I've attended to the Pinstripe Bowl in Yankee Stadium. There could be no better participant in this bowl than Syracuse. They're going to have a lot of fans. No matter what the weather is there in Yankee Stadium on December 29th, Minnesota will be ready for it. This should be a good, great game for people who like ugly football.
The Cheez-It Bowl, Oklahoma versus Florida State in Orlando.
Florida State had a really sneaky good season, 9-3, and they're on an upward trend. Who knows how Oklahoma's going to come into this game. Last year, of course, at a Cheez-It Bowl party with Clemson and Iowa State. It was a major success, so I'll have to get some Cheez-Its for this one on the 29th as well.
The Alamo Bowl, Texas versus Washington, 9 p.m. It's always a fun bowl.
And Michael Penix will be playing for the Huskies, so this should be a great one. Of course, Texas will have a lot of fan support, but I've loved Washington all season, 10-2. Texas 4.5-point favorites, take Washington.
The 30th, a lot going on here. I'll run down real quick. The Mayo Bowl, Maryland versus NC State. The Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl, Pitt versus UCLA. The Gator Bowl, Notre Dame versus South Carolina, bizarre. The Barstool Sports Arizona Bowl, Ohio versus Wyoming. And then on the same night, 8 p.m. kick, let's focus here, Mike. Number 6 Tennessee versus number 7 Clemson. Fascinating game, huh?
Yeah, that's a great day of football. First of all, starting out with the Terps against NC State, an old ACC matchup. We talked about Maryland started out so promising. They kind of stumbled toward the end, finished 7-5. State, of course, without its quarterback, Devin Leary. Maryland played great in their bowl game last year. Excited for that one. Then moving on, South Carolina. Is there a team that ended the season better than South Carolina, annihilating Tennessee and then going into Death Valley and beating Clemson? They're playing the bluest of the blue buds in Notre Dame. Everybody will be showing up and playing well. That'll be a great game. And then Tennessee and Clemson. You know, Tennessee, I think, had bigger – both these teams had bigger and better goals for this season than to be in the Orange Bowl. However, the way the season's unfolded, I think both of them – we'll be happy to be there and we'll play hard. So I think that's a great way to end that day, the Orange Bowl. Clemson 6.5-point favorite.
Saturday the 31st, the Music City Bowl, Iowa, Kentucky. I think that's a fun game. Iowa has gotten better. They have
guessed the over under on this game.
Oh God. 38.
Good guess. No, 31.5. And the Music City Bowl in Nashville, always a bowl I've always wanted to attend. Just seems fun.
The Sugar Bowl, number 5 Bama versus number 9 Kansas State. What's the line here, Mike? Because give me whatever the number is. I'm saying give me Kansas State.
See, interesting. So Alabama's favored by 3.5. So everyone's saying that, of course, because Alabama has a long and storied history of not showing up when they in the bowl game when they don't make the playoff, right? And I understand that, but I think, and of course, half of Alabama's roster won't play. But I think because the narrative has really taken over the college football media about that, I have a funny feeling that Bama is going to show up and they are going to play hard, because I think Saban's just tired of hearing about that.
We shall see. Mike, the second, the ReliaQuest Bowl, Mississippi State versus Illinois. You have to give the edge here, as sounds awful to say it, to Mississippi State based on Coach Leach passing, right? Like they're going to be ready to play for him.
You would imagine, and also you think they're just probably the better team over Illinois anyway, although Illinois is favored by 2.5, which I find a fascinating line. But that's going to be a really, really interesting game to watch. Yeah, you just have no idea how Mississippi State is going to play. This is an unprecedented situation. So,
The name of this bowl is like very unsettling. The Cheez-It Citrus Bowl. Okay.
Yeah, so I don't like that. There's a Cheez-It Bowl and then Cheez-It sponsors another bowl. I'm very much against that. Purdue favorite or getting 14 points against LSU. Of course, they lost Jeff Brohm to Louisville. That was inevitable. We always knew Jeff Brohm was going there. Interesting hire by Purdue, hiring the Illinois defensive coordinator, because Purdue for a century has been a middling to terrible Big Ten team, right? And then what propped them up to made them relevant in the last 25 years? It was Joe Tiller with his offensive style of football, and the same with Jeff Brohm. And now they're going defensive coordinator as a head coach. I want it on record. I think they're making a big mistake, and I'm happy about it.
The Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic, USC versus Tulane, 1 p.m. I think it's a fun game. I'm sure USC's disappointed to be there or whatever, but like,
yeah.
What a great story Tulane is.
Yeah, and that's a game you really have no idea, you know, how USC is going. I mean, that was a crushing defeat that they had to Utah, and they got manhandled. It was really not a close game, and Utah just completely out-physicaled them. Caleb Williams with the Heisman now. He's coming back, and he will be playing. Tulane will be fired up. I just wish they took the name Classic off this, because call it the Cotton Bowl all you want, but it would not be a classic unless it was played in the actual Cotton Bowl.
Right.
And you've been to that game, and we know your obsession with the video screen there at Jerry World. You don't have to tell us again.
And finally, the Rose Bowl game, number 8 Utah, number 11 Penn State, 5 p.m. kick. And look, of course, I'm biased. I think this is a fantastic matchup. I'm so excited for it. And the best news, Mike, for me as a Penn State fan, we are wearing our road whites for the game.
Oh, that is great. And Utah will be in their reds?
Yep.
And you know what? So a lot to say about the Rose Bowl, as always. You know, this is possibly the last, you know, Big Ten, traditional Big Ten, Pac-12 Rose Bowl ever.
It is.
It is. And so I know you looked into going. I looked into going. I was tossing around the idea of going with my nephews and my brother-in-law. Just staggering how much money it costs to go to the Rose Bowl.
It does.
I mean, it is. It just is more than a regular anything. I don't understand why it's so expensive, but it is. I really, really wanted to go to this, but I am going to take every minute and soak this all in, because the Rose Bowl, as we know it, the granddaddy of them all, one of the reasons we love college football, this is the last game. There'll still be a, quote, Rose Bowl, but it will be much, much different moving forward. And I'm glad Penn State's in it. James Franklin will have them ready, right? Utah will be ready because they're always ready. They're a well-coached team. They came so close in a classic game against Ohio State last year. Utah, Tim, favored by 2.5 points in this game.
I think justified, because they're playing so well. And, of course, already Penn State's losing guys. Joey Porter's out. Parker Washington's out. So we'll see.
Oh, those are two big names. It's so disappointing to have opt-outs for the Rose Bowl, isn't it? I mean, it's the Rose Bowl. It's not the Cheez-It Bowl. It's not these other bowls. But it's just the way things go now. We just have to accept it.
Finally, the semifinals. To me, I'm so looking forward to both of these games. I think people have presumptions about both these games. I think they're very misguided. 4 p.m. on the 31st, number 2 Michigan versus number 3 TCU. Why people are writing off TCU to me like makes no sense to me. They got here for a reason, okay? And Michigan's an excellent team. They are. They're outstanding. There's no question about it. But the idea that people would think that there's no chance that TCU can win this game, especially given Duggan. I mean, like, the kid can play. The team has everything you want in intangibles for a college football team. I think it's going to be a great game, Mike.
Completely agree with you. I'm taking TCU plus the 7.5. They've done it all year. Michigan, as you said, this is no knock against Michigan. They're a great team. They've proven it all year. But I agree that the way people are writing off TCU is a bit puzzling to me, especially with that quarterback that TCU has. And I just agree. I don't think it's a talent mismatch the way some of these other semifinals that we've seen are. Well, you remember when Alabama played Michigan State, or you know, Cincinnati being in it. You know, no disrespect to those teams, but I just think TCU is a lot closer on talent level with Michigan than those teams are. So I'm definitely taking TCU, and I give TCU a very good chance to win it. Although I still think Michigan will win.
And of course, number 1 Georgia versus number 4 Ohio State, 8 p.m. ESPN. Same thing here. Look, Ohio State, I told Brian, I'm like, Brian, Georgia's amazing. They're the best team in college football. But the last thing you wanted was to play an Ohio State team coming off a loss to Michigan.
Probably the second most talented team in college football, Ohio State. And you're right, coming off the loss, doesn't it just feel and smell so much like 2014?
Yes.
Yeah. And there, so Georgia's 7-point favorite. I'm definitely taking Ohio State in the points. And I'll tell you right now, I would not be surprised if Ohio State wins the title.
Because, look, there's a lot of, you know, Mike, we've discussed many times, and all respect to our Ohio State fan friends. Mm-hmm. You can only imagine the backlash after that game, like a lot of, like, let's fire Ryan Day, Ohio State sucks, whatever.
Mike, fire Ryan Day, bring in Mike Vrabel. That was a rumor that got legs in light of the loss to Michigan.
So again, Georgia's like, they better be ready to play.
Yeah,
I know
they will be. They're very well coached. But look, they gave up almost 500 yards through the air to LSU in the SEC championship game, and LSU's offense is nothing like Ohio State's. Ohio State has better players at almost all positions on offense. Now, granted, that was not that close of a game, and a lot of it was, you know, garbage time, blah blah blah. But I just don't see why people are saying Georgia will win in a cakewalk. I just don't see it.
Agreed, Mike. Agreed. All right, Mike. So the season's basically over at this point. Now what? What are you gonna do?
Well, I've got some good trips planned in January. I'm going to New Orleans for a Wizards Pelicans game and to eat and listen to some music. I am going on a couple other trips. You know, I don't know, Tim, what do we ever do? Is there ever a harsher day of the year than January 3rd will be? I don't think so. It's the low point. It's the nadir, as we say. And, the long off season begins.
I mean, I'm trying, you know, Mike, you know, my brain, like I dwell in the negative, right?
A tortured man in some ways.
Yeah, and it's like, I'm already like, I'm like, oh my God, January 3rd is going to be the worst day ever.
But it's still 3 weeks away. Enjoy the present until the 3rd if you can.
I will try. It'll take real effort, Mike. Real effort.
At least you have the World Cup final in 3 short days.
So I'm going to do a combination French and Argentinian food brunch.
I love that. It's a great idea. You're going to have some chimichurri.
I'm going to do like whatever. I'm going to look up like whatever tomorrow. Like, give me the best French and Argentinian brunch. Argentinians like just all they love like beef, right? That's their thing.
Steak and chimichurri. Yep. And, you know, they'll have their version of empanadas, that sort of thing.
What should the drink be, Mike?
Ooh, very good question. French, you got to go with wine, right? You got to go with some vino.
A good French wine, yeah.
Yeah, there's only about a billion to choose from there. Argentina has great wine as well. Good reds down in Argentina. So maybe all wine. Not a bad idea. Maybe I'll do the same.
Make for a long day, though, potentially.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, but look, what else do you have to look forward to? Once it hits noon, you might as well just go to sleep and wake up in, like, what, end of March, March Madness?
Absolutely. All right, folks. So this is our last show for the year. Thank you again for listening. Mike, I think you said you ran into someone at the bar the other night who said they were like a listener. And it's always nice to know someone's listening, right?
Correct. And it was someone I did not know was a listener. And so it's not every day that I hear from someone who I did not know was a listener. They were a listener. So, yes, thanks, everyone, for listening. We appreciate it. Once again, I'm going to declare that I'm retiring and this is my last season. But I leave the door open. I could be talked out of it. By Tim in August, because I do enjoy doing this. Sometimes, like anything in life, Tim, sometimes it's a slog, but we do appreciate everyone who listens and gives us feedback.
There's one thing to say, Mike.
Our final pachas.
Pachas.
Place bets on college football.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much.
What do you mean you don't bet?
I mean, I don't bet. You know, I don't care. I never have, and I never will.
Yeah, right.
The Mike Unger 50-50 possible lot, probable loser of the week.
Please hang up and try again.
Thank you for listening to the TCFA podcast. For more college football news and wit, visit intelligentcollegefootball.com.